The following is a presentation of Remnant.
Light of the world. Hey, this is Jeremiah from Remnant Church. Thanks for listening to us online. You know, we want you to be encouraged and filled with hope through your experience as you listen in. This life can be complicated, even confusing, but it's our hope that you catch a glimpse of God's unconditional love for you and His purpose for your life. Thanks for listening in.
Well, as we continue on this theme, love stinks. It can stink sometimes, and there's been some interesting messages. Raise your hand here really quick for me. If you have about five friends, raise your hand, okay? Let's say you have, those of you that have, let's say 50 friends, raise your hand. Okay, it's getting smaller. 100 friends, raise your hand. 150? I don't go that high. I have a lot of friends and I have a lot of people. God wants to be your friend too. He's our friend. The Bible talks about it. He is our friend. Did you know friends, the word friend is used because you know what each other is about and you're doing in your day and you guys talk and commune. That's why Jesus, when he came back and he walked around after he resurrected, he called them friends now because now he was going to teach them where they were going to go. Now they can relate. That's what friends are. And we need God to be our friends because know this, the world we live in wants to be our friend too. And that's what I want to talk about today, about friends. Why can't we be friends? Thank you. Thank you. And I picked that song in particular because it spoke to me first because of my memories in the past. Man, I was buddies with the world. I loved the partying. I loved what my friends were doing, so I did what they did, and you know the story. I was in there with the world, man. It's good stuff. But it was really bad for me. In the long run, the Lord had to intervene and make friends with him. He was waiting and just waiting for the right time. He let me go do what all I wanted to do in the world. And can we be friends? See, I can't sing, but I'm singing. I'm not ashamed. God loves it. He goes, just don't sing that song. Sing to me. Don't sing how the world sings. Amen? So I chose this scripture. Psalms 127:1. It reads like this. Unless the Lord builds the house, its builders labor in vain. Or build in vain. Many translations there. Unless the Lord watches over the city, the watchmen stand guard in vain. That's the only scripture I will use. Let us pray. Father, God, thank you, Jesus, for your word. Thank you for the cross. Thank you for dying for our sins, Jesus. Thank you, God, for your only begotten Son that gives us eternal life through his death. Thank you, Lord. We just pray that your presence would fill this place and that you would just teach us something fresh and new. We love you and thank you. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, I chose that verse because we only can build a godly life through God's word. God's got to be in our life, building our lives through his scripture, through the leading of the Spirit, and through the leading of friends and families with each other. Because the Bible also speaks about iron sharpening iron. Even a wife and husband, they can sharpen each other. Friendships between teenagers or mother and daughter or son and father. You guys can sharpen each other up. God's word will always build us and lead us and guide us in the right direction. A lot of times we make choices personally too soon, too quick, in anger, and they're almost usually 99.9% of the time the wrong choice. Amen? Because we need to be built and founded in God's word. And we're living in a world today that has so much to offer us. This is a world that we're living that's desensitizing our Christian walk with God and is luring us into the ways and things of this world. And that's what's happening a lot today with Christians especially. We're getting bored. We're getting sleepy. We want entertainment. Listen, when you're listening to the worship, look at the words and close your eyes and sing to God. Don't let us distract you. And blessed Jerry commented on the worship, how wonderful it is. Well, those are gifts God gave us to be used in this church at this time to bring God's presence. It's not how good we sound, it's how we should bring God's presence in. We were used by God to, the Spirit would come through the music and go out that way. And you guys receive and get filled, then God's word comes in and penetrates. Amen? That's the whole purpose. See, and the world has its ideas too on how to do this. And Christians are so, we're getting too lax. We're leaning towards more to the ways of the world. And that's what's happening. We're making friends with the wrong people. So why can't we be friends with the way of this world? Because we end up committing spiritual adultery. I believe all of us in this room have been there once, twice, maybe like me 100 times. We've committed adultery before God spiritually. I've turned to the wrong things, done the wrong things. And just because I'm a minister up here doesn't make me any better than you. I make my mistakes. I've had my flaws, but I've gotten up, made it right with God, and moved forward with God. Because God will take care of the situations and persons I might have hurt or the wrong things I did. He'll fix that. I just got to get right with God and start trudging along forward, making friends with the Lord. He'll move those things that shouldn't be in our way. Because trust me, when I first came to God, all those friends, all those environments were still there. And I was kind of wanting to jump in, and I did a lot of times. Even now in my later years as a minister, those little traps are there that the world will set up. Through people, through visual things, through electronics, through relationships. The falls are there. They're landmines, friends. There's landmines everywhere, and some of us have stepped on some big ones. And they can stink. This is not going to be easy today, trust me. It's already getting thick and I can't even take it. What are three areas the Bible speaks about we get attacked on or we can fall shortly on? There's three of them. One of them is our fleshly nature. The second is the world system. And the third one would be Satan himself. You see, Satan is someone that it's hardly spoken about. A lot of people don't believe in the devil. Well, if Jesus spoke about him, if the spirits were afraid of him as well, and they trembled before Jesus as well, they're real. And they're at work. They've always been at work. They're here. And they haven't stopped coming. They're here to destroy you, your family, your relationships, your home, your environment, your world. Because they're here with us. And some of us can take it so flippantly or lightly or loosely. And we need to take it serious. We are in a battle for our lives, for our souls, for our loved ones, for our children, for our future. And most of all, our soul future. Where are you going to end up when you die? Where will you be? Which side of eternity will your soul be found? Friends with the world? Or more into leaning into God and really trying to work at it? That's where God wants us, making friends with him. And Satan is no joke. Look what it says in 2 Corinthians 11:14. And no wonder, it says, for Satan himself masquerades as an angel of light, the great deceiver, even our own. He'll even deceive our own identity. I put that in my notes. He's an angel of light. He'll make facades for us. He'll paint pictures that this is going to be good, or this is okay and it isn't. Shame on us Christians. Bad, bad Christians. We shouldn't be doing those things. And he'll deceive you like he's deceived me. But if you're following God, being friends with God, the Holy Spirit will lead you and guide you and show you what you should do. Decide, say, act, react. It's only through his Spirit. He's a great deceiver. You see? I mean, it's so corrupt now. This relationship thing with men with men and women with women, the marriage is being attacked. And Satan is going to be relentless till the whole world can marry whoever they want to. I got a feeling it's going to get to the point where people can marry their animals. It's true. People are obsessed with some of their animals. I've encouraged you, go on the internet and look up tree huggers or tree lovers. They're making love to a tree. They're crying for the trees. My goodness. Is that twisted, perverted? Yes. Is that God's work? No. Is that being friends with God? No. It isn't. We need to follow God's word because he will deceive us. Even our identity. There's women that think they're in love with women and that's all they want to do, or men with men. Satan will deceive us. He'll play with your head. And a lot of people know what they tell me. Well, I was born that way. Or this is what I like. I know God made me this way. And I don't rebuke them. I just say, well, God bless you, but scripture says elsewhere. It doesn't say that here in my book. I don't know which Bible you're reading. And they'll go around the subject. They'll switch it. But I got to bring them back to this because they'll ask me, what do you think about this, Frank? Well, I don't want to know what I think. I want to tell you what God thinks. God loves them too. But it's twisted and perverted. It's wrong. And he'll rip off our identity. See, before in my past, when they'd ask me, hey, Frank, what's your life about? I'm a drummer. I play hard and I like to rock. That's what I thought my identity was. Until I started making friends with God and through his word, this holy word we have here, he started showing me my true identity. I'm a son of the living God, a joint heir with the Lord Jesus Christ, a servant of God. Period. Everything else comes second or third. Whatever he wills. I thought my identity was as a drummer. And the same trying to get in, they're deceiving me. Oh, you're awesome. People were telling me, oh, you're a great drummer. And I just humble, I squash it down, and I say, it's God's gift. I glorify God with that gift. And he'll deceive in whatever talents you have in whatever areas of your life you find yourself in. He's an angel of light. He's smart. He's been around. He knows the word. He knows the word. And he'll use it against us so we can twist it and pervert it for our own compromising or justifying our needs or what the world likes us to do. We need to be aware of the schemes of the enemy. Many shallow Christians today just surfing the surface of God's word. A lot of people have head knowledge, not heart knowledge. Well, you're supposed to teach me and I'm supposed to learn from you. Yeah, true, we're here every Sunday. Study it up as we do through the weeks and seeking God. But from here forward, it's on you. Seek for yourself. Take what we speak and study it. And come and show us, stand to be corrected. Sometimes we could be off base. Come show us. Come share with us. Text us. Get connected on this Tuesday night with Jerry. He'll answer you. And I know where he's going to his answers. He's going to God's word. I know Jerry won't steer you wrong through this internet thing you guys are doing on Tuesday nights. It's wonderful. Because a lot of the airwaves today are being perverted as well, including Christians. And I'm glad these airwaves, this new technology, we can use it for our benefit. In our growth with God and connecting with each other and asking questions. But we can't take it so flippantly and loosely and just surface the word of God and just be here every Sunday. Study it, seek it, but you need to stay plugged in. You need to stay plugged in. If we don't make God our friend, our love will stink. If we don't make God our friend, we will follow other things. If we don't make God our friend, we will die into eternal punishment. That's where we'll end up. I was headed straight to hell, folks, 110 miles an hour in the lifestyle I led because I was friends with the world. I didn't know about God. I heard about him. I pounded my chest once in a while and went back to party because everyone was doing it. And I wanted to be the coolest. I wanted to be the best at everything else, but the things of the world until God drew me and woke me up. I like what Victor said this morning. Wake up. It's time to wake up, folks. Jesus is coming soon. I don't know if some of you can really swallow that or always been saying that for thousands of years. What if he comes tonight and you're out there doing something you shouldn't or being with friends with the world at that moment? You need to be ready. Remember the virgins. Some had oil and some didn't. The ones that didn't make it in, folks. And they said, can we have some over here? Nah, we've been in the word. Sorry. See, if you're not in the word and some of us that are, you're going to want to run to us. But no, it's on you. Who's your best friend right now? The world or God? The things of the world or scripture? Do you get hungrier for the things that you like or hungry for God's word? This is where it's at. You get fed yourself here through God's word, the other things will come. You'll have time to eat. You'll have time to do those things you enjoy because God created all this for us to enjoy. Our lives, have good times, go to the park, whatever it is you do. But you got to make time with the true and only friend that will never fail you. That's the Lord Jesus Christ and God's word. The only way. Don't be friends with the world. I've lived it for 22 years. And boy, I should be dead or in jail. I should have been dead or in jail. And I'm not proud of that. I'm so glad he saved me. It was beautiful to hear you guys singing. I could picture heaven. I could see my wife in there singing with the angels, probably leading them because she was just so honoring and wanted to run everything. No, you be quiet, angel. These angels are going to sing. She was that way. She was a leader, man. We are too. Sing to him. Don't come. I know. I'm tired too. I wish I was in bed right now too. I know some of them are in bed right now. We better pray for them because we're getting jealous now. Why are we here and they're asleep in bed watching TV? God bless you, you're here. Praise God, you're here. Try to always come. Get plugged in wherever God can connect you at. Through the week, there's stuff you can get involved in. There's a lot of churches, not just ours. It's okay, go visit someone. Do something during the week with a Christian group. Do something. God keeps me busy with ministering and texting and visiting people. Praise God, it's okay. It's what I want to do. Sometimes I got to do my little things at home, and I'll drop it, and I'll go. Praise God. And I'm like, oh, I don't want to come. But by the time I get there and I see them, it just like this. It changes. He changes my heart. He says, Frank, come on, show them what I've done for you. Show them the passion. Show them Jesus. And that's where it comes from, being friends with God. Amen? So what are the three areas? The first one is our fleshly nature. Our fleshly nature. See, it happened to Jesus. It'll happen to us. And I chose the scripture where Jesus gets taken up to be tempted by Satan. In Matthew 4:3, there it is. It says this, during that time, the devil came and said to him, if you are the Son of God, tell these stones to become loaves of bread. Jesus was hungry. Jesus was tired. He hadn't eaten. His body was getting fatigued. He was out there for a long time. So what's the first thing Satan will hit you at? Your likings, your needs, what you want. It's going to be my way or the highway. Gimme, gimme, gimme. My name is Jimmy. He's going to hit you first. Your personal needs, your personal wants, and your personal likes. That's what he'll always hit. It says he came at a specific time. The devil's smart. You know when he likes to hit you the most? When you're tired. You had a long day. And so easy to trigger you to start a fight. So easy for you to go do the wrong thing. So quick to decide, you know what? I don't care. That's when he hits. And he's trying to tell Jesus, look, just make some bread. You know you can. You're the Son of God. Come on. You can make a factory of bread. Matter of fact. He was teasing. He was tempting him. And we get it too. We all get tempted. Matter of fact, I'm hungry right now. I'm thinking of a big old burger from Burgers and Tea. Or Burgers and Beer. I call it Burgers and Tea. Those big old mushroom burgers. Oh, forgive me, okay? I'm hungry right now. Better turn the mic down because you're going to hear my stomach here in a minute. But anyways, he'll hit you first, what you like and what you want, and it's my way or nothing. That's what he likes to do. He likes to attack us there. And then we like so many other things, and we kind of start losing focus of God. We're starting focusing on other things, making them our idols. It could be your job, it could be a relationship, it could be whatever it is that's luring you, and you're making that thing your idol, your shrine. Like I was into a couple of favorite drummers in the world. They were my gods. I just wanted to read about them, know how they played, all the tricks they did, what they used, the techniques. I was in love with these drummers, man. They were my gods. I was so wrong. And this is what we're talking about. Satan will hit you, and you'll make shrines in your life, and that's all you want to do, and everything else will come second. God will come second or third. And then you're in trouble because you're not his friend no more. He is your friend, but he's not going to really support what you're following because he can. He's God. He's holy. And in Paul, in Acts chapter 17, verse 23, it says this. Paul is walking through Athens. He's going through his journey. Look what it says. As I walked around and looked carefully at your objects of worship, I even found an altar with this inscription, to the unknown God, real big, just a shrine to the unknown God. Now what you worship as something unknown, I am going to proclaim to you. Did you know Paul got to Athens? He was waiting his turn to talk to these spiritual leaders at Mars Hill. It was a huge rock. They built this big old synagogue there, and all the philosophers and leaders and religious people just sat all day and contemplated philosophy, the stars, life, everything in general. And Paul's waiting his turn, and he's walking through this garden, an area, lower area of Mars Hill there in the bottom. Just hundreds, if not thousands, of idols to the cockroaches, to sex, to food, to trees. You name it. Anything they wanted to make a god of. And he's walking around going, wow. And the Lord convicted him right there. He said, I got to tell them about this unknown God. And when he showed up, he told him, I saw all the things you like idling, but I want to tell you about this unknown God, this invisible God. That's the mighty, almighty God. You can't see him. He's true and he's spiritual. This is the God we should be following. And the people got mad. They were convicted. They wanted to kill him. You see, when we talk to people about God, they don't want to hear it. They get convicted because they're being friends with the wrong side. And this is what Paul's passion was, for people to get it, to make God your friend first. That's who we should follow. That's who should be our best friend, not those things that are before us. And Satan is good to lure those things right in our path, right in front of us. And sometimes we know. We know we should have been going through there like, oh, it's okay, I'm going to pass one more time. Hey, how you doing? Then the day goes by, and then, oh, maybe I'll go one more time. So I'm going to, hey, how you doing? That's what happens. I've told you before, when I was a baby Christian learning about God, I'd be sitting where you're at, and being a drummer, I'd just stare at my drums, and the pastor was just like, the line is, wah, 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 wah. I wasn't hearing him. And then when they'd say amen, I'd go, amen. I'd stare at my drums, amen. I was just staring at the drums, thinking of other stuff. That was my shrine. I don't take that so seriously anymore. And be glad, because I can get crazier back there. But see, I don't want to steal the attention from God from you. I don't want to distract your worship with the Lord. Shame on me. But my passion and my prayer is that we would grow and move these objects out of our lives and start following your friend, your true friend, your only friend, God, Jesus Christ. And Paul directed this to them. Can you imagine these people sitting there all day? Wonder how creation started. And Paul is telling them, this is who made creation. This is how it all came to be. We kind of like the idea, but get him out of here. We'll kill him later. We're going through that today too. You got to stand your ground. God's got your back. He said, I will never leave you nor forsake you. Look at what it says in 1 John 2. 16 through 17, for everything in the world, the lust of the eyes, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eye, and the pride of life comes not from the Father, but from the world. And this world is fading away along with everything that people crave. But anyone who does what pleases God will live forever. There it is. I was talking about eternity earlier and being God's friend. See, if you're being friends with the world, you're going to have an eternal judgment. That's what you're going to have. If God is not your friend on your last dying day or living for God, you have to be living for the Lord. You need to be found in God. He should be our best friend, but you need to stay plugged in. You need to be hearing God's word. You need to be in some type of service, because you cannot tell me elsewhere, because in Hebrews it also says, do not forsake the gathering of the saints. That means the Christians need to go somewhere once a week at least. I need it twice, if not three times a week. This Sunday doesn't really cut it. You know, it's funny, Jerry's last message this Sunday, it was in my head all week. And man, that was powerful. Man, I was remembering the verses he used and what he said and how he expressed himself. It just ministered to me all week. I didn't tell him this morning because I wanted him to hear me publicly. It was an awesome sermon last Sunday, and it spoke to me all week. And that's what carried me. That's what carried me. That's what should carry us. God's word, the teaching of it, hearing it. How are you going to learn if you're not hearing it? Or someone's teaching you, or guiding you, or meeting with Christians to talk about it? Because everyone has their perspective and view. That's why you have Bible studies. That's why you get together and talk with someone. The family's at home. I've read it to you before in prior sermons, Deuteronomy 6, talk about it all the time. When you wake up, when you go to bed, when you're walking downtown, carry it in your hands. Jerry and Jeremiah encourage you sometimes, bring your Bibles. I know we put them up there, but at least carry them. Show the public, the world, who you live for and who you belong to. Some of us walk around like this. Hey, I was going, yeah. Where are you going? No, I'm going to church. You want to go? That should be our attitude. Don't hide Jesus. You can't hide a light in a city on a hill, he said. Let it shine. Show your friendship that you love God. I love God because I know where he pulled me out of. I would never want to let go of him. And I have failed miserably many times before God. And I'll get on my knees and cry and say, God, I am so sorry. I made a mess. Can you help me? God's already, I already helped you. Just get up, clean up, move on. Don't do that no more. That's all. He's a loving God. He's a good friend. He's our best friend. But the world's always pulling at me, just like you. Amen? Second point where the enemy likes to hit, or the world, is two, the world system. And then, as it goes on, as the Satan tempted Jesus again, it says in Matthew 4, 5 through 6, then the devil took him to the holy city, Jerusalem, to the highest point of the temple, and said, if you are the Son of God, jump off, for the scripture says, he will order his angels to protect you, and they will hold you up with their hands so you won't even hurt your foot on a stone. Now what area is he hitting? You know what he's doing now? He's hitting his areas of the things we would like to do. I want to do this. I want to do that. My passion was always to be a pastor when I first started hearing God's word. I knew I was called to be up here. I just didn't know how. I was being misled through some other ministers in my past. And I confronted this minister. They kicked me out. Came to another church and grew in God's word. And I was ministered to and taught to. But there was a lot of things coming at me that weren't of God. See, we have to have discernment. You have to ask God to give you discernment. The Holy Spirit will talk to you. You know, I was hearing something on the radio, Christian radio this morning, making my coffee. And some people asked, well, I don't hear God. How do you hear his voice? I said, hey, Brother Lupe, wake up. Is that his voice?
Oh, hey, Victor, your guitar's out of tune.
No. You know what it is? It's our conscience. It's your own voice. Listen to songs. Listen to people speaking. You're going to hear something, and God's talking to you. You know why we miss it? Because our mind is just going. It's thinking other things. And the saint told Jesus, just jump off. You're going to be okay. It's okay, Frank. Only preach every other month. Tell Jerry and Jeremiah you can't do it, Frank. And just play the drums when you want to. Sleep in every other Sunday, Frank. It's okay. You're the pastor. What can I tell you? Go ahead, Frank. Jump off. That's what he tells me. And that's what he'll tell you. You'll be okay. Just try it once or twice. It's not going to hurt. Who's going to know? That's how the deceiver works. And you know what's funny? That's scripture. And the devil used scripture on the mighty God. You know what's funny? He only used half of it. If you go back in Psalms, read it all, it just used pieces of it. Because lies are always half truth. When someone's lying, it's half true. Remember in the garden? If you eat of the fruit, you surely not die. That's very hard. Thee and thou's. I hate those. The devil was saying, if you eat it, you won't die. You'll be like God. That was half truth, half lie. Right? That's how lies work. You're going to carry that the rest of your life? Living that way? Man, take that load off. Be real. Be a true friend with God and be a true friend with people. Be transparent, man. You cannot be a friend of God and have a shield over your life or a halfway curtain or a veil. Rip it off, guys. Rip it off. We live for Jesus. You want to be open and holy and pure and true and honest and a true friend with people. I know there's been many times someone called you, go, oh, I can't go, I'm tired, whatever reason. Those are the times we need to jump and go and do. Satan goes, don't go. It's okay, just sleep in. You're tired. You worked hard all week. You deserve it. He'll tell us that. It's okay. He'll understand. She'll understand. You can tell them this or that. They're not going to know. That's the devil. That's not the Spirit of God. He'll deceive you just like he tried to deceive Satan. He'll always hit us. Today's morals, there's no accountability, restraints, or standards. I'm the boss. I'll do as I please, and no one will correct me. That's a lot of attitudes today. And this is what our country teaches in America. It's sad. Teachers see students as numbers. Christian schools see them as a soul. A little kid they can minister to that's probably coming from a broken home or doesn't know about Jesus. A school teacher in a secular school just sees them as a number, a paycheck. That's the difference we live in. We need to wake up and see these truths. Morality is out the door. God's standards of man and one woman has been refined. Perverted sexual lifestyles are redefining people. It's okay for Adam and Steve and Annie and Eve. I had to throw the second one in. I thought it was cool. That's what the world we live in. Look at the programs we watch. Some of them are about two guys living together with kids or vice versa. The little books for kids now in schools, they're printing them now. They have been printing them. With two dads and children. How far are we off the mark? I don't know if I said this the last time I spoke, or I might have said it in our Bible study, but if you look through Scripture, every time God had to come and wipe cities, a world, you name it, to bring plagues, it was always because of sexual perversion. And we're at that peaking point of sexual perversion in our world, and Jesus is coming back soon. My friends, is God your friend right now? Are you ready for a true friend to show up and say, here I am, Lord, I am your friend. I've been serving you all I could. And he's going to say, come on in, good and faithful servant. Are you there? Are you truly living God's word? Are you putting that veil and just going along with the flow and doing what you like or what you want to do? Are you doing it your own way or God's way? See, this is good. It's quiet. I get convicted. You get convicted. I'm sorry. It works that way. Quietness means the Holy Spirit is just tugging at your heart, talking to you, and some of us will harden our heart like, I don't know, Iron Man, ding, ding, ding. Jesus trying to get in there. Nothing's going to penetrate it. You need to put that guard down and let God be your friend. Let him come into that closet and take all those skeletons out. Trust me, friends, you will live a clear conscience. How better is a clear conscience? You'll sleep at night. I've blown it many times, and I can sleep peacefully. Because I came before openly and confessed. And I do it here as much as I can. Because I want to be transparent and be God's best friend first. The world system is attacking hard. Look what it says in Romans 1:21. For although they knew God, they neither glorified him as God nor gave thanks to him. But their thinking became futile and their foolish hearts were darkened. Listen, when people turn from God, they'll tell me, hey, Frank, this guy was saved for a year or two and then he just left. He never came back. He's not a Christian no more. Now, there's verses in the Bible that say, well, it clearly says, well, he was never of the kingdom. Jesus says, this was not of my sheep. They were never truly saved. You can proclaim it and live it and dress it and say it, but you're not of the flock. You got to not give up. You got to keep going. If you come in all broken, tore up, you're of the flock. Because you're, that was funny, that was cool, that was a good move. I know, I like that one too. I worked on it all week, I was in front of the mirror. How do I do like a messed up person? Well, that's how I felt spiritually coming to Jesus. I was tore up. And this loving church, these loving Christians came into my life, taught me God's word. I saw God's word lived out. I heard it preached, and then I wanted a drum, and here I am. Serving next to two great pastors in a great church with great people. That are hungry, I hope, for God's word to learn and grow and to be friends with God first and start kicking the worldly things to the curb. You see? We can know God's word. This is what it's saying it. There's people that have it up here. They know scripture. It's knowledge, but it hasn't penetrated their heart. Why do some people struggle in knowing God's word or God's direction and they expect another one, a pastor or whoever, a leader, to teach them and hold them by the hand? We can do that. I can see a pastor teaching students, right? But you need to work on it too. And sometimes we miss it because we're 18 inches off. We don't want to let it hit our heart. We don't want to open up, confess what's going on in our lives so the Holy Spirit can work in your heart, soften your heart, open it, and start vocalizing, verbalizing your issues and sharing Christ with others. We need to confess. And when you don't and you're shut up, the knowledge is just up here and your heart is hard and the word's not going to get in. That's why people don't get it. That's why a lot walk away because it just hit head knowledge and never hit the heart knowledge. You see, some of you suffered some whatever, death, divorce, I don't know, theft, someone dying, someone... A bad incident in your life. Have you been hurt? That's the kind of hurt we need to come before God and tell him, God, I blew it. This is how much it really hurts. Or are you just flippantly getting on your knees from your teeth saying, oh, God, that hurt, and get on with your life? Would you talk to a friend like that? Hey, Jesus, I'm sorry I punched you the other day. I'm sorry, bro. You think he's going to buy that, my friend, that I hurt physically? No. Would you? No, huh? Hey, Jesus, you know what, man? I am so sorry about that the other day. I was so wrong. I shouldn't have done that. Can you forgive me? That's what sets you free right there. Right there. And why did I do it? Because I'm learning from God's word to be a friend of God and do what God would want me to do. There's no veil. There's no hardness. And when you harden like that, you're going to carry and it just starts. The load starts getting bigger and bigger. And that's why you're walking like this later on. Hey, I'm good. God bless you. I'm great, man. Oh, it's been a great week. Oh, no, I don't need prayer. I'm great. No, you're not. You need to stop, get on your knees, cry to God, get up and go talk to someone and share it all. Come to a friend, your mother, your uncle, whoever you can confide in. And tell them, express, cry it out. Let the tears flow, man. You're being purified. We have chains and shackles. We should be chained to Jesus. I am a prisoner for the Lord Jesus Christ, as Paul says. You talk about my Jesus, I'm going to stand up and tell you about my Jesus. You want to talk about the world and what I used to do? Not really. I'll hear them out for a second, but then walk away. But when you start talking about Jesus and the kingdom, I'm there, buddy. I'm going out of my way this year to be at that baptism. I already asked for a day off 2 months ago. I was just waiting for that date, and I saw it today. Guess what's the first thing I'm going to go tell my boss? I need this day off, and I'm going to be praying and fasting if I have to because I haven't been to one yet. I want to dunk someone. Don't let me dunk you because I'll probably hold you for a while. Oh, I remember you. Bring me another sandwich. No, I'm kidding. I want to be where Jesus is. We should be friends with him. Amen. Don't be like what it says here in Romans. Just don't live it from your teeth and your head knowledge. Start letting it get in there. Confess some things. Start letting the Holy Spirit work in you. And the third area, Satan himself. Third point, he comes. The Bible says that God was before the throne and the angels were all there. Guess who showed up? Satan. Goes, hey, where you been, buddy? God talks to him. Believe it or not, Satan talks to you too and me. God tells him, where you been? I've been to and fro from the earth back and forth. Where did he come to the earth? What's he doing over here? Why is he here? To deceive God's people. And when we're disdaining his name and doing the things we shouldn't and we think no one knows and the devil sees it, he goes, look, God, there's your little Christian doing that. Look at that. Look what they're saying. Look, that's your little sheep right there. And we don't even see that. We don't see that realm. God does. So do the angels. So do the spirits. They're there, man. And he's there. And he'll come and visit you. He has visited me many times to allure me away from speaking anymore. He hit me hard when my wife died. When she passed, for 2 weeks. There's some people in this room, I confess, you know what, I'm done. I don't want to talk. I don't want to preach. I'm done. I confessed it to them. But you know why I came out of it? There's the key. I confessed it. Satan was deceiving me, but I confessed it to people. You know what? I can't know where I'm done. I'm mad at God. He took my wife. How deceiving is that? The Bible says I'm going to see her again if I follow God and I'm his friend. But if I had left him, can you imagine? Well, first of all, you need to find another loud drummer. Not that you'd miss out. I'd miss out. I would be missing out on the kingdom things. Yeah, some of us leaders are going to get judged harder before God, but this has been my passion, to teach people what God teaches me and let it flow. Let it flow. I'll tell you what my friend God teaches me. I'll tell you where it hurts, but I want to be his friend. And sometimes, people, it's going to be hard to tell someone. It's going to hurt, but it's better. It's going to work itself out quicker. Better than carrying that load. Remember this guy? You don't want to be walking around like that. You want to be able to really walk with your chin in the air and let Jesus Christ shine out of you. Let him shine out of you. People will know you're friends with God. People will come to you and ask you for guidance in prayer or a verse or a scripture, and I boast in Christ. If you're in his word, you will be seen differently. Amen? All of you are ministers of God. All of you in this room. You're an agent that God wants to use. You're a tool he's already using probably, and you have no clue. Through people you work with probably 10 feet away, and they go home and they're watching you. And they're probably at home crying, gosh, Lord, why is it they're smiling? They went through this and that. Well, they don't know your friend, Jesus Christ. The God Almighty is what's doing it. I hear it all the time. At work especially, Frank, your wife died and your dad died. And you still hear shining and smiling verses all over your office. Because my best friend is God. I don't trust me. I trust the Lord. I want to live for him. As much as I don't like it sometimes, I'm going to still continue. I'm going to shrug and shred and break the ground and live for Jesus. Is it going to be easy? No, folks. But he'll never let you down. He's your best friend. He is there. Today, there's so much television, internet, video products, and lifestyles, drugs, evil sex, perverted lifestyles that show as okay or fun. There's a lot of young teenage movies that portray like partying and drinking and sex. That's fun. Cheating on your wife is fun. Using drugs, that's cool. Dressing this way is okay. And I mean really for the women and really showing too much. Because I know I stand here with Remnant. It's cool how you come. But respect yourself before God. And man, this Twitter, Facebook, and this other new airwaves, it's came to my ears that some people are just writing some bad stuff. And you're staining Jesus. We could care less what we think about or what you're writing about, but God does. Be careful what you're writing on the airwaves. With this Facebook, people, it travels like a plague, man. Sometimes I don't even want to see some of them because I can't believe they're writing that. I'm no perfect man up here, but that's why I only text Twitter and all this stuff because I don't know how to use a lot of that stuff. And I'm glad I don't. And you know what I pray? God, don't let me learn how to use that stuff because I'll probably mess up too. I don't want that. Texting's cool because it even corrects my spelling. You see, I want God to be my friend. I want him to tell me what to text, what the right words to use. And when we're writing all that other stuff, hurting people, and at times probably degrading our loved one, man, pictures? Really? Do you really need to go there? Christians really have to do that? Let's use it for the furtherance of the kingdom of God and transform lives. Why don't we do that? Hey, God is doing this in my life. I heard this sermon or I read this book. How's Jesus treating you today? Not, I'm going to go do this. I'm going to go do that. Guess who I saw? And I'm not against none of that. But bring God into the conversation. Bring the Lord Jesus Christ, your friend, if you're a Christian in this room, and use him in your context. Because when you don't and you're writing all that other stuff, you're disdaining Jesus. And Satan's right there laughing. Look what he wrote. Yeah, that's your son right there. That's your daughter. And he laughs at God. And God's love, sovereignty, and power sits there and waits. Things will come, and he'll allow them because he's God. His sovereignty. That means he's all-powerful. He'll do what has to happen. Amen? Satan himself will deceive us. Be careful what we're watching, what we're writing. Guys, I use the internet a lot, too, and stuff just pops up. I click out, pops up, click out. I spend more time clicking out than trying to write. I'm just trying to get to a page on baptism or anger, and man, it takes some of my time. But it's going to be eating at you. It's going to be pushing at you. It's going to want to push your buttons. It's going to tempt you. Satan is going to tempt you to do the wrong things all the time. Remember, half of it's going to look real or truthful because it's half lie. Ask, seek, read. Ask the pastors, hey, you know what, this, whatever the situation, ask us, text us, text me because I don't do the other stuff. You can Facebook or do with them because they're smart and I don't do that kind of cyber stuff. I don't want to. Text me. My phone's on the deal there on the pamphlet. Text me with anything. And if I don't have the answer right there, I will go look for it. Trust me, I will go look for it and look for a scriptural answer. Amen. Don't let the world tug at you. Look, I'm going to close here, but I got to touch on this. Look what it says. 1 John 2:15. Do not love the world. Do not love the world or anything in it or in the world. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. The word do not love. Look what it means. Did I put it up there? Look what it means. It's pronounced agapajo. Taking pleasure in activities, doing something that pleases more than self, referring to please self. That's what that Greek word means there. Not to love. It's right there. See? That's the kind of love he's talking about in text then and for now. Look at what the world means. It's pronounced cosmos. The word cosmos we get from the galaxies. But in the real Greek, it means worldly affairs and ordered system where order prevails. What's the government, the country doing nowadays? Taking God out, allowing marriage with whoever you want. There it is. This is what God is telling you. Don't fall in love with the world. It's not talking about the world, the people in it. No, the way the world runs the system. And do you know who's running this world other than God being controlled in his sovereignty? He's allowing someone to run it right now, kind of oversee it. Do you have any idea who could that be and causes us to live that way and thinking, oh, it's the people in the world. I got to stay away from them. No, they're really bad. They stink. They don't love Jesus. No, it's not about the people. It's about the system that the world is trying to induce us with and desensitize God and get away from Jesus and miss church and do whatever you want. There it is. And I'll show you in the next slide who's running it. Is it in there? Well, I have it if you don't. 1 John 2:15. Or what's the next one? Yeah, there it is. 14:30. So, thank you. This is Jesus talking, and I'm done here. I don't have much more time to talk to you because the ruler of this world approaches. He has no power over me. Who's that? Who's Jesus talking about? Satan, the ruler, man. You mean I was watching that because something else controlled me? Yes. You mean I went and acted that way because there was another deal running my thoughts and my actions? Yes. Remember what Jesus told Peter, get behind me, Satan? I thought his name was Peter and he was apostle of the Lord Jesus Christ, a holy follower of God. No, we're flesh, we're humans, and spirits will control you. And this world is being controlled by Satan. And this is why Jesus says he has no power over me. This is the point where Jesus is already going to ascend. He's going to die on the cross and leave and come back. And all the good stuff is going to come and we're going to live in eternity. That was fast, huh? Anyways, that's why I said it. But he's telling us what can control us. What situations can come in to cause things? And trust me, guys, it's not always pretty. Well, pray. Fight back. It's time to take your life back. It's time to take those loved ones back. It's time to take your home back. It's time to get God's word and let it hit you at home, in the heart, and work in your life. That's what time it is. It's time to give your heart to Jesus and say, you know what, Lord, I'm not getting this, but here's my heart. Work on it. Please, I need your help. I'll challenge all of you, if you literally find a little moment with yourself and you tell God, please help me, he'll help you. But if you're just going to say it from here, like I said earlier, Lord Jesus, help me, I don't understand, and walk away, that's not a true prayer. You know, I've read some of these prayers. These men prayed, they were short prayers, but they were really convicting prayers from the heart. There was a battle taking place in the Old Testament, and the prophet said, Lord, stop the sun right in the middle at noon for an hour, and we're going to win this battle. That's all he prayed. And the sun stopped. The Israelites won the war. Other people prayed, Lord, my wife can't have a baby. And the wife prayed, Lord, give me a baby. She had a baby. But on God's time, it was on God's time, not on your time. It's not going to be ever on our time. And if you're rushing it and pushing it and just calling it your own way, it's going to take a while. It's got to come from the Lord. It's got to be from God, and it's got to be truthful and from the heart. Not just head knowledge, heart knowledge. Mean it. Really follow God. Because there's a ruler right now having a party with Christians and laughing before God at his face. Look at your servants, what they're doing. Look how they're acting. Look at the things they're writing about their own loved ones. Look how they treat their wives. Look how they lie. And they're your children. He laughs at him. And God's sovereignty. He sits there, says, I'll do it on my time. He created everything. I don't doubt this, God. He's immense in my life. I fear God. I don't want to step out of bounds with him. I want to see remnant flourish and grow when people come to Christ. And trust me, folks, there's many times I don't want to come. That's a lie. God's going to do something that day. And those that missed out today missed out because God was going to speak to them too. God is speaking to us right now. Direction. Hope. Forgiveness. He forgives you. If you let it go right now, you're forgiven. If you start your change now, he lets it go. He forgets. We don't. We keep bringing it back. And the Bible also talks about, I didn't put it in here, there's an accuser of the brethren accusing the Christian day and night. Oh, I'm not a good Christian. I messed up. And that's the Satan just poking your buttons. He's always accusing you before God. You and me. And all you got to say is, you know what? I'm a son and a child of the living God. Get out of here. I serve Jesus. Yeah, I blew it. I'm going to make it right because he is my daddy. He's going to take care of me. He'll forgive you. But don't flippantly say it. Don't loosely say it. Mean it. Live for Jesus. Make him your friend. Make him your friend. And I love where Jesus says there, he has no power over me. This is the God I serve. This is the God I serve right here. This is Jesus. You get him on your side, things will change. But you really got to live it and mean it. You got to make him your friend first. He's got to be first. He'll take care of you, folks.
Light of the world. You've been listening to a presentation of Remnant. For more information, visit us at remnantchurchonline.com. You